I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Reverend Martin Luther King's children are suing each other over the family estate. This year's Emmy nominees are lacking in color, and Italian Vogue is breaking fashion barriers with its black issue. Here to get us up to speed is our favorite entertainment guru, Allison Samuels of Newsweek magazine. Hey, Allison.
Hi, how you doing?
I am doing great. So the children of Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King are publicly feuding. Dexter King says he split the family estate with his brother, Martin Luther King III, and his sister Bernice King, but they say he's keeping a bigger piece of the pie. Now, you went to Atlanta, mm-hmm. and you were reporting for Newsweek. What were you doing?
Just trying to find out some of the deeper issues that have gone on, because that family's had issues for a while, because Dexter was the head of the Martin Luther King Foundation, and they had him removed. And this was years ago, before Coretta died, before, the older sister died. So this is not something new. I was trying to get the deeper issues on how they feel. They sort of feel like Dexter was the favorite son, and that he had more access to the money and to the financial papers of both the mother and the father. So they feel as though they've been cheated. And Dexter lives out here in Malibu, you know, a long way from them. They don't have as much contact. And I think they waited until the older sister died, Yolanda. I think she wouldn't have been very happy about this type of public sort of feud. So it's a very tangled weave. I'm going to have to go down again and really get more information, because it's really, it's a complex story. It's not something you can sort of do in, you know, a couple of days. It really does go on for years. It has been going on for years. It just sort of culminated with this actually lawsuit.
Do you have any sense of whether or not people who were of the King's generation, I'm talking about Coretta mm-hmm. and Martin Jr., are looking at this with, you know, eyes wide open or disgust or panic or any emotion?
People like Andy Young, I think, are just very disappointed, you know, that is happening, that it is happening on such a public scale, that they couldn't have resolved this, you know, one-on-one. You know, being brothers and sisters, being that the mother and the sister just died, that he feels as though they're still grieving, which I think they are. And, you know, to sort of make such a, you know, big decision to sue your other, you know, family member, you know, I think it's really embarrassing to some of the people in the civil rights movement. They sort of feel like, you know, this family should be unified, particularly this time when they've had major losses over the last couple of years. But, you know, money does things to people, loved ones included.
Well, we look forward to seeing and reading more of your reporting. Now, let's talk about the Emmys. The mm-hmm. awards were announced this week. The new AMC drama series, Mad Men, about the New York advertising industry of the early 60s, led the pack with 16 nominations. That is, the nominations were announced. But like the halls of that fictional advertising firm, the Emmy nominations seem to be lacking in people of color. What's going on?
Well, as usual, African Americans have never really been big. I mean, you've had, like, you know, the Grey's Anatomy, where you've had people like that sort of win. And I think, again, the African American actress from Grey's Anatomy is nominated this year as well. But, I think the Emmys have just been notoriously not great for us, in terms of we're not on TV as much. There are not a lot of shows that feature us. And it's going to get even worse next season, because Gary Jordan is off of CSI. Mekhi Phifer is leaving ER. So I think, you know, this is probably as good as it's going to get with this one nomination, because next year is going to be even sort of less, you know, sort of visible faces of African Americans on TV. And that's an issue we've been going through for years. Why we're still talking about it, you know, it's very disappointing and frustrating.
Are there any black actors or actresses that you think should have been nominated but weren't?
I love the show. I loved Girlfriends. I love The Game. I guess I get frustrated that they don't even get nominated. They're not even on the radar when it comes to sitcoms for the Emmys. And I think that's something that's frustrating to me, because I think Girlfriends was a really good show, and it never got even, you know, a nod the entire time it was on. It's almost the longest running comedy African-American sitcom on TV, next to Cosby. And I just think it never got that respect. So even if we're there, I'm not sure that the attention is sort of given to us. I don't even know if they watch the CW, you know, and I think that's, you know, to our disadvantage.
Well, let's talk about a completely different question, which is what categories there are. Back in 2003, the Emmys added the Outstanding Reality Competition Program. Mm-hmm. This year, there's a new category, Best Reality TV Host. What do you make of adding yet another category, particularly in reality TV?
Well, they have to acknowledge it, because it's such a big market and it's such a huge moneymaker for the television industry. I guess they really couldn't avoid not acknowledging that aspect of it. I'm not a big reality TV fan, so it's hard for me to sort of really look at that. But I understand from their standpoint, when something's bringing in that kind of money, when the public is so, you know, sort of big on reality TV, how do you not acknowledge it? But again, it's easy for them not to acknowledge African-Americans. So it's very interesting how that works that, you know, but again, it's all about money. You know, it's like that brings in money. So that's a category.
Well, we talked a little bit about this Italian Vogue that mm-hmm. features all black models, and right. it came at a time when really people were talking about where are the black people on the runway in the fashion right. industry. Give us an update on how that's been doing.
It's been doing great. I mean, it's sold out pretty much all over the country. They're having to do, I think this is their third reprint of it, because they, most of the newsstands that I know usually get like 10 copies, but because of the demand, they were getting 100 to 200 copies, and they were selling out. On Facebook, they had this big petition saying, let's make it the biggest selling Vogue ever. And, you know, they had a lot, you know, thousands of signatures on that. And I think people sort of took it to heart. But I still agree with Beth Ann Hardison, who said, you know, we love the fact that this is done, but what we want is inclusion. We don't want our separate issue. We want to be a part of regular Vogue. You know, but I think it is a very good message to Vogue that, look, people are interested in black models. People will buy those issues. You always hear, oh, black models don't sell or black faces don't sell. And it's like, you know, obviously that's not the case. You know, the interesting part about this Italian Vogue, though, is all the ads are white. So it's very jarring when you look at all the black models and then all the ads are white. So it still gives you that story of, you know, we're not getting this part of the thing. You know, we can get in the magazine doing fashion, but we're not sort of being invested in from, you know, a commercial standpoint.
Well, Allison, great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Allison Samuels is an award-winning national correspondent for Newsweek magazine. She joined us from our NPR studios in Culver City.